CBS News. It will be dawn in about an hour in The Hague, Netherlands, the latest deadline set by gunmen occupying the French embassy. I'm Jim Kilpatrick reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The latest on the story from Joyce Vandermeer in The Hague.
The three Red Army terrorists occupying the French embassy and holding nine hostages got part of their demands. A fully fueled jet plane is waiting to take them to an unnamed destination. And a Japanese revolutionary that was held in a French prison has been flown here to join them. Only he reportedly has refused to do so, remaining at Schiphol Airport. Negotiations continue between the Japanese ambassador and the terrorists who want to take their hostages, including the French ambassador, with them in their getaway plane. They have extended their deadline now and are waiting for dawn before making a move. Police who had occupied the embassy on all floors except that one held by the terrorists have left the building, unexpectedly accompanied by a secretary who had hidden herself in a closet when the occupation began. This is Joyce Vandermeer for CBS News, The Hague.
More CBS News after this.
But, Mom!
I said no. I've got 12 girls coming for Karen's shower tonight.
Oh. Hello?
Hi, hon. I'm going to be late.
Late? You were going to take the kids. Why did I do that?
It could be simple nervous tension. Simple nervous tension. Now turn it down with Quiet World tablets. The Calmative with pain relievers and two gentle relaxants for hours of relief. Take only as directed. Quiet World tablets ease the aches and that tense feeling to help turn down occasional simple nervous tension.
I'd like a pack of cigarettes, please.
Sure, fella. Name your poison.
A what?
Well, that's what nicotine is, you know, poison.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, sure. Now, what kind would you like? We have mentholated poison, filter tip poison, extra long poison, extra thin poison, or just plain poison?
Look, why don't you just give me a pack of...
Yeah?
Gum.
Kick the habit. Join the unhooked generation. This reminder from your lung association is a matter of life and breath.
The situation surrounding court-ordered busing in the Boston schools didn't improve any on Friday. This time, blacks were throwing rocks at whites, and whites were throwing rocks at blacks. 8 injuries and about 18 arrests. City officials say they will provide sufficient protection on Monday, but the Boston leader of the NAACP, Thomas Atkins, says he will ask black parents to keep their children out of school until more protection is provided. Bruce Lee of CBS radio station WEEI reports.
Atkins is asking that federal marshals be brought into Boston to guarantee the safety of the city school children and says he will go to court over the weekend to get the federal support he wants.
The law is on the side of desegregation. The federal law, the federal government is on the side of desegregation. There will be desegregation in Boston. It is not a question of whether. It's only a question of when. There will be desegregation from one end of Boston to the other.
Mayor Kevin White and other city officials oppose and are troubled by Atkins' demands because they feel busing is going as well as could be expected given the tensions here. Bruce Lee for CBS News, Boston.
In the school district around Charleston, West Virginia, a protest over new textbooks has closed the school system and widened into a shutdown of businesses, including many area coal mines. Traditionalists say the new textbooks are anti-Christian. Now the students have spoken. Presidents of the three Charleston High School student councils say they want to keep the books and return to school on Monday. The Washington Post reports in its Saturday edition that the White House has agreed to halt, at least temporarily, the plan to give Richard Nixon control of his presidential tapes and documents. The delay reportedly was prompted by objections from the office of Special Prosecutor Leon Jaworski. Senate Majority Leader Mike Mansfield says President Ford may have hurt his ability to cope with inflation by granting the Nixon pardon. Mansfield told a Utah news conference that many U.S. economic problems stem from the fear psychology generated by Watergate, and that in granting the pardon, Mr. Ford has resurrected Watergate. More news after this.
Do you think a computer programmer needs the use of his legs? New York University doesn't. They hired a man who's almost totally paralyzed. Yet they'll be the first to admit Tom Clancy's one of the best computer programmers they ever had. Of course, Tom Clancy's just one person, but there are millions of men and women in this country very much like him. People who have accepted their disabilities and come through rehabilitation with skills, determination, and a sense of responsibility. Yes, Tom Clancy's got a very good job. But what about all the others? The Director of Vocational Rehabilitation in your state has a file of highly qualified people in every field, ready, willing, and able to work. If you're not in a position to hire them, talk to someone who is. And next time there's an opening in your company, ask him to write the Director of Vocational Rehabilitation. His office is in your state capital.
A public service message brought to you on behalf of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare and the Advertising Council.
A White House spokesman says President Ford is expected to announce within the next 10 days a plan for building a swimming pool in the backyard of the White House. The pool, to be financed entirely by private funds, will apparently be located on the site of the present air-conditioned dog kennels. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook, fair and warm over the weekend. The highs near 80, lows in the lower 50s. No chance of rain. And currently in downtown Seattle, a temperature of 71 degrees. The barometer rising, it reads 13.01. And in Major League Baseball activity today, in the National League, first of all, Montreal edged Pittsburgh 3-2. New York and Chicago divided a pair. St. Louis 2, Philadelphia 2, and the game halted after 16 innings because of rain. No final score yet on the Cincinnati-Los Angeles game. Atlanta beat San Diego. Houston dumped San Francisco. In the American League, Baltimore beat Cleveland. Chicago took 2 from California, Detroit over New York. Minnesota defeated Kansas City. Boston dumped Milwaukee. And Texas downed Oakland. CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next on KIXI. The time is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the vivid world of your own imagination, to the miracle of your own mind's eye. We have all of us found ourselves at times in one predicament or another and wondered how in the world we got there. Like Fran and Martin Halliday, for instance.
If he's going to kill us, why doesn't he get it over with?
Ever see a cat play with a mouse, Fran?
He's
the cat, Fran, dear. We're the mice.
Our mystery drama, Hurricane, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lother and stars Joseph Julian and E.V. Juster. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Pardon me, miss.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me what happens this time of year?
Rhubarb reaches its peak.
No.
Muskmelon reaches its peak.
No.
Oh, well, does it in any way involve something reaching its peak?
No, not really.
Oh.
What happens this time of year is that you can get a really outstanding deal on Buick's small but surprisingly elegant Apollo. And with what's happening to prices, you may never have a better chance to buy a Buick, huh?
Hey, I know what happens.
Yeah?
The buzzards come back to Hinckley Ridge, Ohio.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't thought of that.
Oh, boy. Do I have a headache. Why do they have to make these caps so hard to open?
For a very good reason. Children open things that they shouldn't. That's why we have safety packaging. For the life of your child, you can live with a little inconvenience. For further information, write the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, Washington, D.C., 20207.
Here's a medical puzzle. A person has a deadly disease, yet leads a normal life. How is it possible? The answer is chemotherapy. Through this treatment, thousands of cancer victims regain active, productive lives despite their cancer. Many of these people can continue in their jobs for years, while the anti-cancer drugs, which we call chemotherapy, control their disease. But many types of cancer remain difficult to control. Through research, the Chemotherapy Foundation is stimulating the development of new drugs. More types of cancers will someday be controlled. The question is not if, but when. You can help by contributing to the Chemotherapy, that's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. This is a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
Imagine yourself now in a beach house on the eastern shore of Florida. It's a wild and isolated part of the shore. And right now, the savage wind and rain of a hurricane are bludgeoning the house. In the living room, two men are playing Scrabble by the light of a kerosene lamp. One of them is quite young, in his 20s. His left eye is badly bruised, half closed. The other man is old, in his mid-30s, perhaps. He is wearing a shoulder holster with a .38 caliber revolver in it.
Turn the radio on, Ronnie. Let's get the latest on the hurricane. And Ronnie.
Yeah?
Don't get any fancy ideas. Don't make any sudden moves.
What ideas? What moves? You could put a bullet in me before I got halfway to the door.
And don't think I would.
Some hours since Hurricane Donna roared out of the Atlantic, heading north by northwest up the Florida East Coast. Winds up to 90 miles per hour have already been clocked at the Weather Bureau station in Miami, which warns that they are expected to reach a velocity of 110 miles per hour.
I told you, no sudden moves.
Minute,
get away from that window.
I thought I heard a car. I did. Joe, there's a car in the drive. Two people, a man and a woman, getting out. They're coming in.
Dan, shut that thing off. Now let me handle this. Don't give me any trouble, understand?
Whatever you say, Joe.
Yeah?
We're sorry to trouble you, but will you let us in, please?
I'm sorry, lady.
The Overland Highway's underwater up ahead. We can't go on. We can't go back. You've got to take us in.
There's a beach house about a half a mile.
There was. It's been washed away.
Oh. Well.
Look, you can't turn us away. Not in this.
All right. Come in.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm Martin Halliday. This is my wife, Fran. And you?
Joe. Joe Carrington.
And I'm Ronnie Prentice. You may have heard of my father.
All right, they don't want your life history.
Pleasure meeting you. Say, that's quite a black eye you've got.
Yeah, I got
it. We went down to the dock to secure our boat. Ronnie slipped.
Oh, that's too bad. I can't help noticing, Mr. Carrington. Your gun.
What about it?
Well, it's a little unusual, isn't it? I mean, wearing a shoulder holster and a gun in a house makes me feel as if I'd walked into a Humphrey Bogart movie.
Maybe you have. Oh? What do you mean, Mr. Prentice?
He didn't mean anything. Making a joke is all. Where are you from, you two?
Siesta Key.
Yes, we have a little beach house there. Shack, really. A kind of get away from it all place.
Get away from all what?
We're school teachers. Jacksonville. Fran teaches English, and I'm what you call a student counselor.
Oh, you, give advice to kids?
Well, they're not exactly kids, not at 17 and 18. High school, yes. But at that age, adolescents have lots of problems, believe me.
And you straighten them out?
Well, let's say I try.
My husband has a degree in clinical psychology.
Oh, very interesting. I'll be back in a moment.
Where are you going?
Well, to heat up the coffee, Joe. They look like they could use something.
Well, what they need is a drink. Forget the coffee.
Well, I don't need a drink. I'd rather have the coffee, thank you.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I'll get it.
No, wait. Excuse me. I'll give him a hand in the kitchen.
Martin, there's something funny going on here.
Yeah, I noticed the way Carrington, the one with the gun, kept watching the younger one like, well, a cat watching a mouse.
I noticed that too, but what I mean, the younger one, Ronnie, he seemed to be trying to warn me about something.
What do you mean, warn you?
I don't know. I could be wrong, but there was something, seemed to me, something in his eyes. As if he were trying to warn me with his eyes.
And speaking of eyes, I don't think he got that shiner in a fall.
Neither do I.
Bob, come and get it. Hot and steaming.
Oh, I can use a cup of that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Here we are.
There's cream and sugar. You can help yourself.
Oh, thank you. How do you take yours, Mr. Prentice?
Black. And it's Ronnie.
Oh, well, Fran, then.
Okay.
There you are. Mr. Carrington?
None for me.
You play Scrabble, Fran?
Love it.
Well, how about a game with me?
Of course.
You know, come to think of it, maybe I'm biting off more than I can chew, taking on an English teacher.
What do you want, a handicap?
This is a nice place you've got here, Mr. Carrington. Yeah, I've been admiring some of the paintings on the walls. Who's the artist?
A friend of mine.
A distinctive technique. Yeah, he's got talent. And problems.
You think so?
Oh, no offense.
No offense. I'm interested. What makes you think he's got problems?
Well, there's something curious about the way...
Yeah?
It's hard to put into words. See, here in this landscape, that distant farmhouse is only partially finished. And here again, these trees are only half painted in. As if, well, there's something wrong. As if the artist, for some reason, went just so far and no further. As if something stopped him.
You shrieks are all alike.
I beg pardon?
Your wife said you were a psychologist.
So?
So right away you gotta read something into this painting. Like the artist has problems because he didn't finish painting this or painting that. Maybe he ran out of paint.
Did he?
What?
He's a friend of yours, you said. You know him. Did he run out of paint? Or does he just not finish what he starts?
Hey, now, take it easy, Joe. Why pull a gun on us? I just accidentally upset the Scrabble game, that's all.
Oh, I thought you were going to shoot me.
You're pretty edgy, Carrington.
Sorry.
You're practically a nervous
man.
But all that happened was Ronnie upset the Scrabble game.
I said I was sorry. Here, let me help you pick up the pieces. And maybe we could all sit down and play. How about it, Mr. Halliday?
Sure. Help pass the time.
Yeah, you count me out. I'm going to lie down for a while.
A few minutes ago, you wanted to play.
Well, I don't now.
Nonsense. You like Scrabble.
Not when I'm up against an English teacher. She was beating the socks off me.
We'll all play. Now sit down, Ronnie.
I'm sleepy, Joe. I'm going to catch a nap.
Looks like we'll have to play three-handed.
Yeah. As soon as I get back. I won't be a minute.
Martin, that boy's in trouble.
Where'd you get that idea?
He didn't upset the Scrabble game accidentally. He did it deliberately. After he spelled out the words, help me.
Help me?
Yes. I looked at the words then, at him, and he looked in Carrington's direction. Martin, that boy's in danger. Maybe we are, too.
Joe, no, please, don't handcuff me to the bed.
You're up to something out there, Ronnie. I'm not taking any chances.
I swear I wasn't up to anything at all.
You think I haven't noticed the looks between you and her? You think I haven't seen you trying to tell her something with your eyes? And why did you upset that Scrabble game?
It was an accident.
Yeah, some accident. And all of a sudden you're sleepy and you want to take a nap. Do you think you're kidding? Next thing I know, you'd be out that window trying to escape.
With a hurricane raging out there, how far do you think I'd get?
I don't think I know. You're not getting beyond this bed. Not with these handcuffs on, you're not.
We've got to do something.
Fran, I warn you again, don't rush into something you'll be sorry for.
But we've got to help that boy. For all we know, we've got to help ourselves. Martin, he's got a gun, and he's...
More coffee before we start playing?
No, thank you.
Change your mind about a drink, Halliday?
Why, yes. Yes, I think I will.
And on second thought,
I'll change mine about the coffee.
Help yourself. Scotch, bourbon, rye, what'll it be?
What? Oh, bourbon, thanks.
Coffee's cold. Mind if I heat it up, Mr. Carrington?
Of course not. There's a gas stove in the kitchen. Lucky we don't cook with electricity. It all went off hours ago. Kitchen's through that door.
I'll just be a few minutes.
Hey, what the...
Shh! Keep your voice down, Ron.
Fran, you're soaked to the skin, drenched.
I pretended I wanted to heat up the coffee, but I really wanted to get to you. I went out the kitchen door and came around to this window. Ronnie, what's the trouble?
He's holding me for ransom.
Ransom?
He wants $100,000. My father is Garrett Prentice, the millionaire.
Oh, I've heard of him, yes.
Phil Carrington, if that's his name, phoned my father yesterday. The money is on the way, but what worries me is I'm sure Carrington's going to kill me once he gets it.
What if he gets the ransom money?
I don't think it'll make any difference. He knows I can identify him. So he hasn't much choice. He has to kill me. You and your husband, too.
Yes. We could identify him.
You've got to do something. We've got to do something.
But what? That's the question, Ronnie. What?
Your wife, she's taking her own sweet time about heating that coffee.
Well, here she is now.
Where have you been? Your clothes are soaking wet.
How did it happen, Fran?
While the coffee was heating, I went to the kitchen door and opened it.
What for?
Well, to see what it was like out there. The wind caught the door and yanked it open. I went out to try to close it and...
You're lying. What have you been up to?
I haven't been up to anything.
You went out the kitchen door and around back, didn't you? You made your way to the bedroom.
No, I swear I didn't.
Well, I'll soon find out. I'll go see.
Fran, have you gone crazy? You hit him with that candlestick. You knocked him cold.
Get his gun and the key to the handcuffs out of his pocket.
Handcuffs?
Ronnie's handcuffs are the bed in there.
Good Lord. Here, take the gun while I hunt for the key. Not this pocket. Yeah, here. Keep him covered, Fran. I'll release Ronnie.
Mr. Halliday.
It's okay, Ronnie. I don't know what this is all about yet, but I'll soon have these cuffs off you.
Oh.
Carrington's out cold. There.
Oh, good. Where's his gun?
My wife's got it. Keeping Carrington covered.
Come on. He's still out, huh?
Yes.
All right, I'll take the gun, Fran.
Yes. Here, I don't want it. I don't even like the feel of it. Where's my husband?
Well, still in the bedroom, I guess.
What in the world is he doing in... Martin? Martin, what are you doing in there?
Coming. I stopped to have a closer look at this.
Well, what is it?
It was hanging on the wall in his bedroom.
But what is it?
A straitjacket, Fran.
A straitjacket? Ronnie, what would a straitjacket be doing in your... Oh, my God.
That's right, Fran. You see, I'm insane. Joe used that straitjacket to keep me quiet when I got violent. Really violent. But he won't be using it on me anymore. Not anymore. Thanks to you.
As I said, we sometimes find ourselves in predicaments and wonder how we got there. Well, Fran and Martin Halliday needn't wonder how they got into theirs. They know. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Never heard of beer on the rocks? No? Swell. The people who brew Budweiser never have thought ice in your beer was such a cool idea anyway. If you only knew how ice cuts down the head and waters the taste. Oh, a chilling thought. A downright tragedy with Budweiser especially. Budweiser is the king of beers. The only beer in America that's beechwood aged, naturally carbonated, which means Bud brews its own bubbles, tiny ones, over a dense lattice of beechwood strips. The beer ages the best way, the right way, naturally.
But add an ice cube and bloop, there goes all that extra effort. So if you forget to cool enough Bud, skip the cubes and put your Budweiser on ice for a while on the coldest shelf in your refrigerator. Even if the wait does frost you a little, it'll be worth it. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Where have all the flowers gone?
Has been telling us to be careful with fire for over 30 years. Yet last year, we still started over 100,000 careless forest fires. When will we ever learn?
When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
A public service on behalf of the Forest Service, State Foresters, and the Ad Council.
Say we cannot escape what the fates have ordained shall be our future. Others contend that we create our own destinies, masters of our fate, captains of our soul, and all that. I don't know. Seems to me there's such a thing as luck, good and bad. And as Fran and Martin Halliday stare into the barrel of a gun held by Ronnie Prentice, I'd say they're just victims of circumstance. Wouldn't you?
Joe uses a straitjacket on you when you become violent?
He did. But as I just told you, he won't anymore. Thanks to you, dear impulsive Fran Halliday.
Carrington's coming around. I'll see if I can help him.
Leave him.
He could be seriously hurt.
Let's hope so.
My head. Ronnie, how did you get that gun?
She gave it to me after she took it away from you.
Oh, maybe you made a big mistake.
He told me you'd kidnapped him. We're holding him for ransom.
And you swallowed that?
I'm afraid I did.
Well, don't blame yourself too much. Ronnie's conned smarter people than you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks very much.
Oh, now, you shouldn't have said that, Joe. You've offended her. She's an obvious narcissist type. You should have realized that.
As you did.
Well, of course. That's why I went after her sympathy instead of his. I knew she'd be a pushover.
Well, quite the amateur psychologist.
Amateur? Hell of a lot better psychologist than you are, Halliday. I'm not wasting my life as a kid counselor.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Ronnie, give me the gun.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
Ronnie.
One more step, Joe, and I'll kill you.
No. Not me. Not after all these years.
How many, Joe? I've lost count.
19. In 4 months and 27 days.
Oh, that's a long time.
You'll never know how long.
The gnawing tooth of time. Well, it's over now, Joe. End of the line and no transfer.
No transfer for you either if you kill me. I'll put you in an asylum, Ron.
Not me. Too clever. Wow, would you all like a drink, or is the situation sufficiently intoxicating? Dear Fran?
No, thank you.
Halliday?
Not me.
How about you, dear brother Joe? Dear, dedicated, generous, self-sacrificing, martyrish brother. Dear, gentle, understanding, all-suffering keeper!
Hit me just once again, Ron.
And what?
Skip it.
I'm going over to the bar to make myself a drink. Now, all of you, stay right where you are. Don't move. Not an inch.
I said not an inch.
Well, I was only going to sit down in this chair and...
Oh! My jaw.
I'll do more than felt you with this gun if you disobey me again. Now, don't move. Not an inch.
Martin. Oh, Martin, I'm sorry.
It's not your fault.
Are you sure you don't want a drink? Anyone?
It's your last chance, you know. Well, suit yourselves. And now, who's first? You, Halliday? Yeah, why not you? Just one bullet through the head. Painless. So don't be afraid.
Ron, don't do it.
Are you afraid, Halliday?
I don't think so. No.
Not afraid of death? How come?
Oh, I don't know. I guess if you believe in God, and I do, I guess you... Well, you can't be very much afraid of anything, really.
Well, many people who believe in God are afraid to die, wouldn't you say?
No. I don't see how they could be afraid if they did.
Oh, provocative speculation.
Give me the gun, Ron.
Oh, you're afraid, aren't you? When I point the gun at you like this and you don't know whether I'm going to pull the trigger or not, you are afraid, aren't you, Joe?
I certainly don't want to die.
Yet you believe in God.
Maybe I do and maybe I don't.
You do? You do? You told me you did. I remember a long time ago, you told me that you did. You did.
Okay, I did.
Now you're trying to confuse me. He does it all the time. He keeps making me think I got things twisted, all mixed up, that I'm not thinking straight, that I'm crazy. Now, don't start that with me, Joe. Now, I'm warning you. Don't start.
All right, Ron.
And then don't take that tone either. You know I can't stand that tone.
Ron.
I will not be treated like a child in a tantrum. I will not, Joe. I will not.
Then why don't you stop behaving like one?
Halliday, don't cross him.
Why not? Go ahead, Halliday. Cross me. Say anything you like to me. Anything. And see what happens. You won't? Well, then how about you, Fran? You say something. You cross me.
Oh, won't you please let us go? Please. We have nothing to do with all of this. We just happened to come in here out of the...
Save it. You can't reason with a homicidal maniac.
He really is?
Yes, Mrs. Halliday, he really is.
Liar! Liar! Oh, and clever. Oh, yeah, clever. But not as clever as I am. You see, he wants my father's money all for himself. There's enough for both, more than enough. When my father goes to that great hunt club in the sky. Yeah, marvelous huntsman, my father. Red coat, breeches, top hat, the whole bit. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, hunting we will go. They all fall down and go smash. Smash! Not for him. Oh, never smash for him. For me. For me.
What do you mean, smash for you?
Would you like to know? Would you really be interested?
I would, yes.
No, we... we never tell about it, do we, Joe? Never have, never will. Oh, but father's friends say. Garrett Prentice fathered a maniac. That's what they'd say. Garrett Prentice would shrivel up with shame.
Who exactly is Garrett Prentice?
Who is... Joe, here's a man who never heard of father, a wonderment, a rara avis. My dear man, where have you been? Everyone has heard of father.
I'm afraid I'm not in that category.
Oh, then let me tell you about him, all about him, and about Joe and me.
Ron, no, don't, please.
Now,
no.
Last stop, Joe. Final destination, why not open the luggage? You won't be taking it with you. You see, Joe's mama married my dear papa after his papa died. Now, in, as you might say, the ordinary course of biological eventuality, I appeared on the scene. And alas, poor Joe's mama left it. Joe hated me for killing his mama.
No, Ron, I never...
You did. You did. If you didn't, why did you hit me and knock me down and make me hurt my head?
I didn't mean to. You were 2 years old, almost two. And you always wanted whatever I had, a toy, a game, whatever. That day, well, I wouldn't give up what you wanted, and I pushed you away.
You knocked me down. You knocked me down, and you hurt my head, Joe.
I did injure him. I am responsible. When I pushed him and he fell...
Knocked down?
All right, Ron. When I knocked him down, He struck his head on the metal corner of a bed. He was unconscious for more than an hour.
Go on.
When the doctor brought him around, he seemed all right, except for headaches that bothered him from time to time, but otherwise all right. Then when he was about four, he tried to kill his governess.
At four?
Yeah. He wanted her to give him something, I don't remember what, and she wouldn't. And he flew into a rage. He bit, he clawed, he kicked her. Small as he was, she was no match for him. And he'd have killed her if other servants hadn't come in time and dragged him off. And then, a year or so later, he attacked a playmate. Boy his age, and he would have killed him if there hadn't been other boys who pulled him away.
Good heavens.
From then on, he couldn't be sent to school. He had to be tutored at home. He'd fly into these sudden, unexpected rages, attack his tutors. He nearly murdered one with a pair of scissors.
The psychiatrist who examined him, did they have
him? He's never been to a psychiatrist.
Oh, you can't mean that.
It's true.
But that's... it's senseless.
Garrett Prentice, senseless? Wealthy financier, handsome playboy, beloved darling of the jet set, senseless?
Oh, no. Heartless, yes. Oh, God, yes, heartless.
He couldn't bear the shame, the notoriety of others knowing.
But Carrington, Joe, you can't mean that all these years you've taken care of him alone.
It was my fault.
So you took on the burden of...
Wouldn't you?
You've dedicated your entire life to him.
Oh, it isn't as bad as you make it sound. Most of the time, he's rational enough. Our lives are quite ordinary, except... I have to keep watching for the signs, the symptoms that warn me that another attack is coming on. I try to give him as much freedom as I can. Still, I do have to keep an eye on him.
And you know I hate being watched. If you only know how it feels to have someone's eyes glued on you all that... Why are you looking at me like that, Holliday?
Like what?
As if you're studying me.
I don't know what you mean.
Yes, you do. Answer me. Answer me or I'll put a hole in your head.
No! Take that gun away from his temple.
Easy, Fran, easy. All right. I have been studying you.
Why?
There's something... I can't put my finger on it, but... something... I've known kids. Well, young men and women, really. High school seniors who seem rational at times.
It's only the calm before the storm, Halliday. It's one of those symptoms that I mentioned.
The silence before the volcano erupts, eh, Joe?
Something like that.
And then? Boom! I erupt. Well, better to do that than to hold it in and let it eat you alive inside like most people. Like you, Halliday.
Me? Nothing's eating me.
Liar. You're all but eaten up with bitterness, frustration.
You couldn't be more off base, believe me.
Am I? Ask her. Ask Fran. She knows. Am I right, Fran?
Well, answering, Fran.
He's right.
You see?
Oh, come on, Fran.
He is right, Martin. You know it. I know it. We just never talk about it, that's all.
Talk about what?
Nothing. Forget it.
No. You just said that he's right. That I am eaten alive inside with frustrations, regrets.
You are. Darling, you know you are. You never mention it because you're you.
Good Lord, Fran. Are you talking about what happened at State College?
Is there anything else we don't talk about since it happened?
But in heaven's name, Fran, that was 12 years ago. It makes no sense.
Doesn't it? Oh, Martin. Dear, darling Martin. Doesn't it?
You know, maybe it does. Maybe it does at that. If all these years you've been thinking that I... because I never talked, thinking you ruined my life.
I did. You know I did.
Ruined it? Fran, dearest, you made it. How could you have lived with me all these years and not know that I what a fool I've been.
You?
Yes, me, a so-called psychologist, not knowing you'd feel guilty, that you'd...
But Martin, you've kept silent about it all these years.
Kept silent? Nothing. I haven't kept silent. I just haven't talked to you about it because I scarcely ever think about it. And when I do, I'm glad it happened.
You're just saying that.
I'm not saying anything. I'm telling you the truth.
Too late.
Too late.
Just too late. Because I'm sick of all this talk. The time has come to erupt. To strike. And I think... Now I'm sure. I'll strike at you first, dear friend. Oh, yes. I'll kill you first.
Surely a twist of fate. An ironic twist. When in the very instant Martin Halliday discovers that, all unknowingly, he and his wife have misunderstood each other over the years, the homicidal maniac Ron Prentice kills Fran Halliday. I'll return in a moment with Act Three.
Say, do you know what happens this time of year?
The swallows come back to Capistrano.
Nope.
The buzzards come back to Hinckley Ridge, Ohio?
No.
Bulldogs all over the world begin to shed?
Not even close. Oh. This, my friend, is the time of year when you can get a super little deal on the practical but elegant Buick Apollo. And just between you and me, it may very well be the best chance you'll ever have to buy a Buick.
I could have sworn this was Buzzard Day in Hinckley.
Hinckley?
Sure, I've heard that phrase, give to the college of your choice. Good idea. And I know all colleges need more money, what with inflation and all. It's just that since I graduated, I've been so busy, not just with my career, but with the community affairs, too, I haven't found the time to reevaluate.
Take the time, now, and give more to the college of your choice, now.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Whopping one-third of the world's energy use. That's how much Americans have been accounting for every year. And we only have 6% of the world's people. This is Jerry Kay for the Sierra Club. Since energy has been cheap and plentiful, we have wasted a staggering amount. But if we just cut out most of that waste, we could save several million barrels of oil every day. Energy conservation is necessary for our economic well-being now, and it is essential to our environmental health from now on. Because our most essential, life-giving natural resources, our air and our lands and our waters, suffer from the careless exploitation of our energy fuels. New and cleaner sources of energy will become available in time. New and more efficient methods of putting that energy to work are on the way. But for now, there is no alternative to energy conservation. It can work. It can work wonders. A message from the Sierra Club.
Remarkable, isn't it? That no matter how intimately our lives are bound up with another's, we never really know what he's like underneath, what he truly thinks, truly feels. It's almost inconceivable that Fran Halliday would believe that her husband Martin has been eaten up with bitterness and frustration over something she did 12 years ago, when actually the reverse is true. But no matter now, it seems, because Ron Prentice has just fired point blank at Fran.
I'm all right, I think. He missed.
Yeah, lucky you, Fran. You jerked your head up at the right moment, or you'd be dead with a bullet between your eyes right now.
Fool, you crazy fool.
Yeah, my dear brother. You won't think so when I finally decide to kill you, too.
If you kill any one of us, it'll be the end for you, Ron.
Oh, no, not an end. A beginning.
I'll put you away, behind bars, in an asylum for the criminally insane. You could never bear that, Ron.
I've borne it for nearly 20 years. 19 years, 4 months, 27 days, as you said.
What are you talking about? You've lived an almost normal life. I've seen to that.
Yeah, never a day out of your sight. The feel of your eyes always on me, waking, sleeping. You were always there. Never alone, never. Handcuffed, straitjacketed, chained. Chained to you. Chained!
Think I have never wanted to be alone? To live my life? To fall in love, marry, have kids? Even to go for a walk by myself? You think it's been any easier for me? Chained to you?
You made the chain, not me. You. Well, now I'm gonna break it, Joe. Once and for all, break
it. No, don't shoot. Ron, please, I beg you, don't.
Hey, look out! I thought we were finished.
You are.
What?
The house can't last. They said on the radio these winds were at 110, 120 miles an hour. And that's what they're starting to do.
And we damn well better ought to get out of here.
Where can we go?
To the beach. There are caves down there. We could make it.
No, dear brother, not you. Me.
What do you mean, you?
Fran, go into the bedroom and get those handcuffs my brother used on me.
What are you up to?
You'll find a second set in the top bureau drawer. Joe always kept a spare. Bring the straitjacket, too.
I don't...
Do as I tell you. And don't get any fancy ideas, or it'll be the end of these two.
Do as he says, Mrs. Halliday.
All right.
What rotten scheme have you dreamed up now, Ron?
Oh, not me. The hurricane. The hurricane dreams it up.
What the hell are you talking about?
Those winds are getting worse. The house can't last. It'll be ripped apart, torn asunder, smashed to kindling. And you, all three of you, will be smashed to kindling. Human kindling with it. Ah, here's impulsive Fran with the handcuffs and the straitjacket. You, Halliday, put that straitjacket on, Brother Joe.
Ron, Ronnie, you can't do this.
I'm not. You are. Get that jacket on him. Now!
He means what he says, Halliday. He'll kill you if you don't obey him. Come on now. Get this jacket on me. Halliday!
If I could only be sure.
Of what, Martin? Sure of what?
That he won't. That he can't shoot to kill.
Try me, Halliday. I'm gonna count five. If you haven't got that straitjacket on Joe, I'll put a bullet through your head.
And he can do it. He's a crack shot.
Then how come he missed Fran?
I missed because...
Don't give me that. Fran couldn't have jerked her head fast enough to avoid the bullet. You missed. Deliberately missed. Why?
Halliday, you're pushing your luck.
Maybe. I'm not saying I couldn't be wrong. No one ever really knows what's in another man's head. But if I'm right...
Martin!
Give me the gun, Ron.
I warn you, put that straitjacket on, Joe, or I'll kill you here and now.
I don't think so. If you were going to shoot us, you'd have done it instead of talking about it.
Halliday.
I've been sizing you up, Ron. The way I size up high school kids sent to me when they're in trouble. They do a lot of talking, too. A lot of bluster, a lot of bluff. Half the time, not knowing it is nothing but bluff because nobody's called them on it. Well, I'm calling you. Here and now, calling you, Ron.
One more step.
Halliday, in heaven's name, you're not dealing with a high school kid. You're dealing with a maniac.
That's the chance I'm taking, Joe. That your brother is no more insane than I am.
Well, you are insane if you think he isn't. I've been with him night and day all his life. I tell you, he's mad.
I don't believe it. He believes it. Oh, yes, he believes it, all right. Right now, this minute, he believes he'll shoot to kill me. But I'm gambling that when the chips are down, he'll throw in his hand.
Oh, you seem very sure of yourself, Halliday.
I'm anything but sure, Ron. But what have I got to lose? If I don't take that gun from you, we'll all die when the hurricane destroys the house. And even if you do shoot to kill, and do kill me, it'll give Joe a chance to get that gun away from you. Joe?
Yeah?
Get ready. If he shoots me, you'll have a split second to jump him. Okay?
Okay.
Martin!
Take it easy, Fran. All right, Ron.
One more step and you're dead.
Not if I'm right about you, Ronnie. I'm willing to take a calculated risk based on what I've learned about you in the past hour.
learned? About me?
You nearly killed your governess, Joe said, when you were a child. But didn't.
I was stopped before I could.
Were you? Or could you have killed her before anyone came to save her? But held off until they came. What about the playmate you tried to murder? Somehow you didn't succeed there either. Or the tutor you nearly killed with the scissors. Or my wife, Fran. Those pictures on the walls. You painted them, didn't you?
What of it?
None of them. Not one is finished. That's what of it. Why? Because you don't finish anything you start. You want to know the truth as I see it, Ronnie?
I don't give a damn what...
As I see it, when you were a child and Joe knocked you down, yes, you were knocked unconscious. But when you came to, you felt a warmth, a security you'd never felt before. Because for the first time in your life, you were the center of attention. Especially your father's attention. You felt it, loved it, wanted more of it. Wanted to shoot.
You...
As time went on and you got no more attention, you missed it, yearned for it. Then one day, as I see it, when your governess refused to give you something you wanted, you flew at her in a childish tantrum. A tantrum, Ronnie, that's all it was. But again, you got attention. And again, you found it pleasurable and wanted more. And had found a way to get more. Am I right?
You can't be.
Ron, if I'm right, for nearly 20 years, you've been playing at being insane without knowing you were playing. You've told yourself a lie, the same lie, so often you came to believe it. But the fact is, you're not insane at all. Ron, for the last time, give me that gun. All right, then. I'll take it from you.
Oh, Ronnie! Oh! You killed him!
I knew he would. I was right. Your husband was wrong.
We won't need the straitjacket now. All right, Joe, handcuff her to the water pipe. Move!
That's run. Yes.
Oh, all right, now handcuff yourself to her.
Run. He'll come after you. He'll put you away.
Do as I say.
All right. All right.
And now, goodbye, Joe. In a little while, the house will be gone, and you with it. I'll be free of you. Free of you. At last. At last.
Martin.
Mrs. Halliday.
What?
Mrs. Halliday.
What?
The hurricane's getting worse. We can't last long. I just want to say, I'm sorry you got caught up in all this.
It was my fault.
No.
If I hadn't released your brother, Martin! That was Martin. He just moved.
He isn't dead.
Oh, dear Lord, how could he be alive? His head. The blood.
You didn't get a chance to look at him close up. That bullet could have only creased his skull.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Oh, Martin. Here. Look over here.
Huh?
We're handcuffed together. Here.
What? Fran.
Oh, Martin.
Fran. Joe. What happened?
Ron shot you.
Oh, here, my... my head.
He went to the caves on the beach. He left us handcuffed to this pipe.
Gotta get out of here.
There's no way, Halliday. We're handcuffed to this water pipe.
He got the keys?
Yes. We're hooked.
Not if I was right.
What about Ron? You were wrong. He shot you, didn't he?
No, but didn't kill me. He could have. Crack shot, you said. But he didn't. And that means...
what, Martin?
Oh,
it means what?
He'll be back to save us.
Oh, you're nuts.
He can't go through with it. He never has before. He won't now. He'll be back. The question is, will he come in time?
There isn't much. Oh, this could be it.
We can't last much longer.
I can move. Get to you. Hold you in my arms.
Can't let you die.
He and God sake, you'll be handcuffed off.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Now you're Fran.
Quick, Fran, quick, the roof. Oh, there goes the roof.
Okay.
To each other, dragging Martin, who couldn't stand, they fought their way to the caves on the beach, even as the house exploded into flying wreckage. I'll be back shortly.
Young I may be, but still I'm a man. Just turned 18 and I'll do what I can. Find me a place where I can be me. Get ready for life.
Your chance of success, learn an exciting job, and see the world. Call toll-free 800-841-8000 or see your Navy recruiter. Be someone special in the new Navy.
I know where I'm going from here.
So, curiously, out of possible death came new life for Joe Carrington and his half-brother Ron, and for Fran and Martin Halliday. It's trite to say, I suppose, but God does work in mysterious ways. Consider, if 12 years ago, Fran had not sounded off impetuously to the dean's wife, Joe and Ron would still be bound to each other in misery. And Martin would never have found the life he finds so rich and rewarding. Consider that. Our cast included Joe Julian, Evie Juster, Jack Grimes, and Gordon Gould. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
Try to look at me, Mrs. Carlin.
Bobby, don't. When she's like this, it's no use.
I want you to give me your headache, Mrs. Carlin. I want you to give it to me. Look, Mrs. Carlin. Anita, look. Give me your headache. I want to take it away from you. I'm going to take it away from you. Do you hear me? I'm going to take it. You're going to give it to me. I'm going to take it. Yes, I'm taking it. You're giving it to me. You're giving me your headache, aren't you? Yes, you are. I know you are. Please give it to me. All of it. Yes. Oh, please.
Yes. It's gone. All gone.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams. News next on KIXI, AM and FM in Seattle. And the weather outlook, fair and warm over the weekend. Highs near 80, lows in the low 50s, no chance of rain. And currently, it's 68 degrees. This late by a baseball score, Cincinnati over Los Angeles, 6-3.
News. There are reports that the White House has decided to wait at least a while before going through with its plan to give former President Nixon control of his presidential tapes and documents. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The reports say Special Watergate Prosecutor Leon Jaworski objected to giving the material back to Mr. Nixon, saying that the prosecutor needs it for the continuing investigation of the scandal. Apparently, the White House has not decided yet if Jaworski will get access to the tapes and documents, but will hold up on the agreement to give Mr. Nixon the material until there's more discussion on the matter. Richard Nixon's personal physician, Dr. Walter DeKosh, said Friday the former president is suffering from a new and painful blood clot in his left leg. DeKosh, who was Mr. Nixon's White House physician, says the former president is suffering from severe strain and physical fatigue. DeKosh says Mr. Nixon ruled out going to the hospital at this time for treatment. More news in a moment.
The sun is shining. Things are growing, things are going well with you and me. A future planned together, a rich full life together, and things look bright as they can be. We're helping 40 million people, oh, 40 million people who know the future is now.
Future will be here in a moment. Don't let it take you by surprise. At Metropolitan Life, we've spent over a century helping people prepare for the future. And Metropolitan can do the same for you.
At Metropolitan Life, we help to plan your future, because the future is now.
In The Hague, three gunmen are still holding eight hostages in the French embassy after seizing the French ambassador and eight others Friday afternoon. One woman hostage was later released. The gunmen demanded the release of a comrade, a member of the Japanese Red Army, who was being held in a Paris jail. Authorities have now flown the prisoner to The Hague, but the plan to exchange him for the hostages in the embassy has apparently hit a snag. There are reports the Japanese prisoner reportedly has refused to join the three gunmen. In Vienna, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries has decided to raise oil prices by 33 cents a barrel starting October 1st. That figures to roughly 1 cent a gallon more for gasoline and $3 a ton more for heating oil. But one of the oil ministers, Jahanmurshid Amuzigar of Iran, made it clear who should have to pay the extra money.
It is really our considered opinion that this 33 cent increase can be taken out of the excess profit of the oil companies and should not be passed to the consumer at all. Therefore, this is one of the reasons why the increase was such a moderate one, only 3.5%.
One member of the organization, Saudi Arabia, refused to go along with the increase and will not raise its oil prices. The Coast Guard says firefighters have now controlled a two-day-old blaze aboard a passenger liner in the Florida Straits, but firemen are still working to put the fire completely out. Bruce Hall reports from Key West, Florida.
The Cunard Line has called in more help to fight the fire aboard their giant luxury cruise ship Ambassador, which is drifting off the coast of Key West. The Coast Guard is still pouring water on the fire, which has now burned for nearly 2 days. The blaze apparently began when an oil line ruptured and spilled oil on hot diesel engines. It later spread through all seven decks. There were no passengers aboard the sleek two-year-old luxury liner when the blaze broke out. 309 crew members were taken off when the fire got out of control yesterday. The $33 million ship is now listing at 6 degrees, but the Coast Guard says if good weather continues, there is no longer any danger of the liner sinking. Bruce Hall, CBS News, Key West, Florida.
There was more trouble Friday in Boston on the second day of a new busing plan. Bricks and bottles were thrown at school buses and police vehicles. 16 people arrested, 3 students and 1 policeman were hurt. Now this.
If you think the USO is just coffee and donuts and a Saturday night dance, listen to this.
I hope that you know and understand how myself and all the rest of us who have suffered the agony of alcoholism have appreciated your help. God has given you an innate ability to approach problems of others without becoming emotionally involved or letting them become so with you. If you had allowed me to become completely dependent upon you, the results would have been disastrous, and I would not possess the inner strength that is now allowing me to cope with this emergency situation. I will never forget how you never lost faith.
Those are the actual words of a serviceman. A serviceman who knows what today's USO can do for a guy in real trouble. We're concerned about a lot of serious problems. Remember, over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. We get no government funds, so please support USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
I live on borrowed time, lest I forget what you have taught me.
The White House says plans are underway to build a swimming pool for President Ford at the Executive Mansion, but emphasized the pool would be constructed from private funds. The project may cost around $300,000, and final plans are to be announced soon. President Ford is an avid swimmer and misses the pool at his Alexandria, Virginia home. When he lived there, Mr. Ford used the pool just about every day. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, with the time now is 6 minutes past 11.